Welcome to the 8th preseason Supercoach Coach podcast, and I'm joined this week again by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone.
And of course, we've had the first couple of games played, bit anticlimactic, only getting a couple of games and then having to wait a whole week before the next 7 are played, but we saw Adelaide, Essendon, Frio and West Coast. Mark, why don't we start off the podcast by letting the viewers know exactly who we picked from those teams and how they went.
Pretty excited by the Bombers' win on Friday night, mate. That's all I really want to talk about. Can we do that for the next half an hour?
Yeah, I think not, buddy, but it was a good win, and I got both my tips right from last week's podcast.
Good on you, mate. Frio, very impressive in the Saturday night game. Pretty reluctant to talk about my picks from the weekend. I had Dangerfield and Watson changing spots until 10 minutes to go before the first game, and obviously went with Dangerfield, who got a score lower than he did at any stage last year. BJ was okay in his first game without starring. Paddy Ryder, I took, who 54, 4 touches, 11 hit-outs. Some of his hit-outs were fantastic, and that's why he scored so much off just the 4 touches. Really not great conditions for a big man, and hopefully he'll do better under the dome, but 54 is way below anything he scored last year. Heppel started off fantastically in the first quarter, but his possession was crappy. And then I had Fife, who did okay with 96, and Cox with 96 as well. How'd you go?
Yeah, I am 427 from 5 players at the moment. Luke Brown on the bench with 44, and it just came back today that he's no structural damage at least, so hopefully he'll line up in round 2. He has got a couple of weeks. So I have Dangerfield on field with a 63, Heppel 73, Goddard 86, Dean Cox 96, and Josh Kennedy 109. So we're going to talk about the players from the weekend a bit later on in the show. But for now, we're going to start off, Mark, with the forward line options that remain from the next 7 games. So I guess it's only apt that we start the forward line discussion with the number one forward in the competition. And pretty sure that's undoubtedly Lance Buddy Franklin, who has this year put off contract talks till the end of the year, Mark. Is that a relevant consideration?
I think the bigger consideration for me is that the Hawks draw, really been given a difficult draw for the year. First 7 weeks, they played the 7 finalists from last year. If you're ever not going to start him, that's going to be a pretty good reason not to do it.
Now, on to the next lot of players. I think we're going to try and split it up by price bracket again, Mark. First up, we're going to compare 3 Geelong boys. Paul Chapman, Jimmy Bartel, and Steve Johnson. And they're actually all valid forward options this year, which is weird because they're all premiums and they're all from the Geelong Football Club in the forward line.
And they're all basically midfielders available as forwards. So there's reasons to pick each of them and there's reasons not to pick each of them. I think Chapman, I was on him for a lot of the preseason. I had him a lot of last year and I noticed that he definitely was struggling to get away from packs, especially later in games. And he just didn't quite have the run that we've seen in previous years. And then it sort of came out early in the preseason that was a result of his training load and it was a 2-year process and he was going to be ready to go for this year. But then he's missed 2 games already because of niggles. I presume in both the games he would have actually played if it was regular season, but just his injury history and that has really got me worried about him. What do you think about Chappy?
Real high risk, high reward with Chap. He's obviously a big injury risk. The last 3 years, he sort of curbed that a little bit. Yeah, he could average up to 110, like if he's really on song this year, if his preseason is as good as they said that it is, and that is that it's been a 2-year build-up to get to this point, then he could very well average 110 if he gets more time in the midfield. But the flip side to that is he's 32 years old. He's playing for the Geelong Football Club, which a few do still see them sliding. So it's still a bit of a risk factor in terms of how Geelong will actually perform. I think that the injury risk is probably the biggest one. You don't want to end up with a player that's missing a lot of games. And beyond that, if he's missing a lot of games and not getting continuity into his games at the age of 32, that you worry a bit about his scoring as well. So
1-year contract, Marcus, and he wants to play on. Geelong would only give him 1 year, so he's going to be fighting for another year.
Jimmy Bartel's another interesting prospect, Mark. He's been wearing different numbers in the preseason because apparently he doesn't quite fit into his number 3 Guernsey anymore because he's put on some bulk in the gym.
I thought that was just some other guy running around the Geelong forward line.
we've heard that he's moving into forward line, Mark. So it's an interesting prospect, Jimmy Bartel, and exactly how he's going to score this year. We haven't had him available as a forward, I don't think, before. Of course, Brownlow medalist previously averaged 125, but if you looked at the last few years since he's won the Brownlow medal, he's sort of been on a downward slope. It'll be interesting to see how he scores this year. I think that he's a decent pick. You wouldn't think that Jimmy Bartel's average would fall. So from that perspective and from the fact that he's very durable, it seems like quite a safe selection. Beyond that, the upside is obvious. So I think Bartel, of the three that we're looking at is probably the safest option.
Yeah, I like the role changes here for Jimmy. The fact that he's not going to play so many defensive midfield roles, because I think that's what's really restricted his scoring in the last 3 or 4 years, because he does the team thing and plays the team role so often, where if they put him a bit more in an attacking position, I think Jimmy could really flourish in that sort of role. So I'm expecting 100-plus average. If he can stay out on the park, I think he'll turn out to be quite a good pick.
But of the three, Mark, I think you've probably got to agree with me. Steve Johnson is probably the most exciting of the prospects. To be honest, if he hadn't been suspended by knocking down Hayden Ballantyne in the first round of the NAB Cup, you'd assume that he'd probably be locked into most starting teams. He was interviewed in that first Lightning round when he wasn't playing in the first game, and he did say that this year he's primed to play a majority of his time in the midfield. And we've seen that Steve Johnson's actually rather industrious in the midfield. In the forward line, he's more reliant on the goals that he kicks to score the points. But considering we've lost, you know, the quality in Joel Corey, we have lost Gary Ablett, Johnson and Kell and the like have had to step up a little more, and you'd think that Steve Johnson playing midfield time will definitely improve on his average of 95. Of course, in 2011, he didn't average, I think, 105, so his upside is at least 10 points worth, but we haven't seen him play as much midfield time as he predicted he would in the preseason. So it remains to be seen how much midfield time he'll actually play. But if he does go up to about 80% midfield time and just resting the forward line, you'd think Steve Johnson's in for a fairly large year and might even be worth consideration despite missing the first round, Mark.
Yeah, he's at a bit of a discount because of the three that he got last year, where he just got hit at that first centre bounce and was straight off the ground. So you could definitely see him averaging 105. The fact that he misses the first week is a really awkward position, especially if you're already intending to have McCaffrey on the field. That means you're exposing your next rookie, which there aren't exactly a lot around. Geelong have a little bit of a tough first 5 weeks, and then their season really opens up, especially for the midfield strength of schedule. So if you get him in about round 5, that'd be perfect.
Now, the next lot of premium forwards I'm going to look at are from Brisbane, Mark, and probably one of the players that have got the most attention in the forward line this preseason is Tommy Rockliffe, and that's just because we've seen him average, I think, 113. The previous year, playing midfield and swinging forward a little bit. Now, the problem last year was he had to play a lot more in the forward line, Mark, so he became a forward line who swung into the midfield occasionally. Not to say he wasn't a good scorer, I think he's averaged about 100 still, but this year, available back in the forward line, a lot of people are hoping that Rockliffe will get back to those scores of 113, which would just be insane in the forward line. That's matching Buddy Franklin almost. The only issue is they've recruited Brent Maloney now, Mark. You think that Redden, Rich, and the like have continued improving. Will Rockliffe see similar forward time as he did last year again in 2013?
No, I don't think so. I think a few players coming back from injury, it's just going to free Rocky up a little bit. And he's also boosted his fitness a lot in the last 12 months or 6 months in particular. So I think that'll put him back into the midfield. 113 might be a little bit higher considering that Brisbane have expanded their midfield stocks. But we've seen him have a pretty decent preseason so far. And I think he's going to be a lock in most teams. And just because of his upside, because there's so many reasons why he was down a little bit last year and why he could go up again this year, especially considering Brisbane's draw, which pretty good early on. That's a lot of reasons to pick him.
He's a lock, isn't he, Mark?
He certainly has not been outside of my team since the very first day of the preseason.
Yeah, same as me. Now, Dane Zorko is an interesting one, especially if most of us consider Rockliffe a lock.
Zorko showed us in the NAB Cup Grand Final exactly why he will be in a lot of people's teams this year, and maybe he wasn't a one-year wonder, and people sort of say, oh, it's the Barlow effect, the second year, but if Barlow didn't break his leg, he might not have had second-year blues, so you'd think that they're going to put someone on him because he's so damn dangerous, but I don't think he's necessarily underpriced, but it wouldn't surprise me if he averaged about the same, 105 to 110 this year, which is a really good result for a forward at about that price.
All right, the next players we're going to look at, Mark, from Hawthorn, Rioli and Jordan Lewis. Now, Lewis averaged 95 last year and had a pretty decent season. I think the issue again, and I brought it up last year, was just that when he scores well, he can score between, you know, about 100, 120. But the issue is he doesn't have quite the upside, doesn't score 140s and the like. And the issue is Lewis still has the occasional quieter game just due to the sheer number of stars in the Hawthorn Football Club. Now, that means that when he scores a 60 or a score similar to that, his average gets dragged down a little bit. So I just struggle to see Lewis's ceiling moving past close to whereabouts he's at right now. Rioli, on the other hand, is completely the opposite story. or averaged 95 last year, but the sky's the limit with Rioli. The issue is staying on park and getting consistency with games, I think.
So if you had to pick one, you'd take Rioli?
I probably would. I think this year with 30 trades, you chase the upside, you chase the risk, high risk, high rewards type players a bit more. So for that reason, Rioli. Last year, definitely Jordan Lewis ahead of Rioli, but this year, I think I'd probably go Rioli.
Lewis had a lot of tagging roles last year, and that's sort of why his scoring was down. He's definitely lost a lot of weight over summer. I know that he didn't have the greatest preseason, but he should be ready to go for round one. I kind of think that Hawthorn see him having a bigger role in the midfield going forward with Mitchell and Co. just aging a bit, and they're sort of heading to the wrong side of 30. They're going to need someone in that 25-year age bracket to take over. So I do see him taking on a bit of a bigger offensive role in the midfield for the Hawks this year. But because of the Hawks' tough draw, I think you can probably wait off on most of their players. I think out of all of them, Roughhead's probably the better selection. But I personally would just take none of them because of their early draw. And Rioli's also had an ankle concern that's kept him out of the last 3 or 4 weeks. So Rioli definitely has the upside, and you might want to get him in at some point. But I'd just be a bit cautious on most of the Hawks at the moment.
Next tier of players are in the similar price bracket, and they're all playing at the same position on ground. That's key position forward. So we're looking at Tommy Hawkins from Geelong, Drew Petrie from North Melbourne, Jack Riewoldt from Richmond, and Adam Goods from Sydney. Now, of the four of them, Adam Goods has the best scoring history, but has had the worst preseason of the four of them.
His preseason has been pretty terrible, and to be honest, you're the only person I've heard bring him up, and you've brought him up a lot.
Anyway, all right, he doesn't tickle your fancy. Who do you like out of Tom Hawkins, Drew Petrie, and Jack Riewoldt?
My wife keeps picking Drew Petrie because she, like, Petrie had won her games and stuff last year, and she's so excited about Petrie, but I just don't see it with North's tough draw this year. I think Jack has had another interrupted preseason, but has managed to play 22 games the last 3 years and been injured pretty much every season, so still managed to get through the years. A highest average of 90 so far. Only kicked 60-odd goals last year. Wouldn't be surprising if he jumped that up a little bit this year and jumped his average up about 5 points or so, so I think he's not a terrible pick. Tomahawk was at a great price last year. Really had a breakout year with the 95 average. I don't see him going above the 95 average, so I don't really think he provides a whole lot of value personally. So out of the three, I'd probably take the tough one, Jack or Hawkins, depending on which one you liked better is pretty much how I'd choose, but I wouldn't take any of them personally.
Same as me, Mark. I really don't like taking key position forwards, and to be honest, the only one that's come into serious consideration is probably Lance Franklin. And so out of the lot, I'd probably take Hawkins as a Geelong supporter. Now, the next range of players, a little bit more mid-pricey, Mark. They need to be keepers based on the price that they're at. So that's Mitch Robinson, Dustin Martin, Jack Watts, Travis Cloak, and Alan Christensen, which I've thrown in there, Mark, you probably won't appreciate. But who do you like of the lot? I'm assuming Dustin Martin, who's been locked into most teams throughout the preseason.
Gee, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And everyone got burnt by it as well. Averaged 98 or 99 in 2011 and then dropped 10 points off his average last year. So many people just did not see that coming. You'd think that he'd at least get back up to the 98 average. And if he did that, he's going to turn out to be a really good pick. Richmond are improving. Apparently, he's had a great preseason. Mark Williams has gotten with him and hopefully improved him a bit as a player. There's definitely some off-field concerns that are pretty concerning for those that are looking to pick him. But I think at his, again, like I'm a sucker. I got burnt last year at the same price, but I'm just going to take him down. Mitch Robinson and Travis Cloak, both in this group, both two of my most hated players in the AFL, so won't be going anywhere near them. I don't even know who Alan Christensen is. I think he plays for Geelong or something. I really like Jack Watts, though. I think very impressed with his preseason. So I think that at 460 is very risky, and you don't want to read too much into his preseason, but entering his fifth year, it just seems right for Jack. It's priced at 85, and I could just see him averaging 95 plus.
I think Travis Cloak's probably a non-selection as a key position forward for mine. Mitch Robinson, I don't like his DT to SC ratio. His disposal efficiency isn't quite where you'd want it. So from that perspective, you really wonder just how high his ceiling can be. Alan Christensen, I bring up because in his first year, if you take out the sub-effective games, he went pretty close to averaging 100. I think he averaged 95. Last year, had an interrupted season and still managed an average of 80. Of course, had a couple of sub-affected games as well. So I think Alan Christensen, he was supposed to go as a first-round draft pick before he had a pretty poor year as an 18-year-old and his skin folds were pretty poor. So I think you'd be remiss to underestimate the scoring potential he has. Geelong, of course, are going to give more responsibility to the youths, seeing as the old boys are dropping off a bit. I think Christensen, having a good preseason, might flourish in the midfield, and people might be pleasantly surprised. He is a midfielder available in the forward line and has shown the ability to average close to 100. So I think he's worthy of consideration.
Way too risky.
He is very risky, Mark. He is. The next tier of players, Mark, are probably the cheap mid-prices. And these are the mid-prices that you really want to pick if you had to pick mid-prices. So Angus Monfries, Patrick Karnesis, we've got Chris Knights, Ricky Pettered, both from Richmond, and another Geelong bloke, Travis Varka. A lot of Geelong players in the forward line this year.
Karnesis is a lock. Do you agree with that?
I think he's shown enough in the preseason to say it's too risky not to pick him. Yeah, he's got to be a lock, I think.
At his price, he's really cheap. He showed heaps in that NAB Grand Final. If he could average 80 or above, then you'd be absolutely wrapped. So, yeah, I think that Karnesis with the early draw is a lock. The next best for me would probably be Gus. If he can get a lot of midfield time at Port, they showed a lot over the preseason. Whatever's that worth, maybe they might improve a little bit this year. Gus's hamstring's probably his biggest concern, the fact that he's missed a lot of the last 3 or 4 weeks. I think if he had have had a completely clean preseason and played it right through, I think he'd be quite a good pick. Barco, you almost had me convinced after the early show we did on mid-prices, Marcus, but then... Gee, he didn't really do much in the preseason, mate. I think he had one good quarter where he had 9 possessions and basically did zilch else. Ricky Pettered interests me. Upgraded off the Richmond rookie list, 240,000. He's cheap. He could average 70 or 80. There's no rookies there. He's possibly someone that might be okay to pick. But again, really, really risky. And Chris Knights just hasn't been around in the preseason. So that's just not even on my radar at all.
Yeah, I think of the five, Monfries is probably the most likely to average 100. I think just his price point makes him a bit tricky at 360K. He's shown a good preseason and Port have shown a willingness to throw him into the midfield a bit more than Essendon did. I think, like you said, Mark, Knights and Pettit are probably hard to pick, both in terms of score uncertainty and job security as well. Travis Varko is an interesting one. I did pump up his tyres a lot early in the preseason.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just before he came back with a few poor scores. But Mark, I'm telling you now, he's lining up for me in 2013. So forget about the preseason. I'm going with sentiment on this one. I've seen just what he's capable of doing. I think if you said Karnesis, you're happy if you're average 80. I think Varko is easily capable of that. I think you'll see that his tackle
scores
numbers,
of
his time
72, 61, and 48 in the preseason.
His time on ground will go up in the main season. To be honest, a large proportion of this is structural thing. Just the way I've decided to lay out my team, kind of needed an extra one of these mid prices in my team, and Travis Varko, you know, in addition to Karnesis, and you know now that I selected
and Kennedy.
Kennedy,
so
I
you
am
have
running.
Three mid prices up forward.
Yeah, so that's a fair reveal, Mark. Three mid prices in my forward line. That's a big point in my structure. But next week, you guys will see exactly why I've decided to go with that when I reveal my full team. So hopefully, it pays off in other parts of the ground, but. To be honest, I know he's not a great selection, but there's enough sentiment together with capability, I feel, in Varko for me to just select him. So probably not for most of you out there, but he's in my team, Mark. All right, so let's have a quick talk about the games that went on over the weekend, Mark.
Go Bombers! Woo! I thought it was probably a 50-50 game, and so to get a win, a pretty good win in the end as well in the state is a huge thing for the club. First player we want to look at is Matty Wright, who tagged Job all night and scored pretty well. I think he scored 100-odd. That was a pretty good effort by Wright. I think I'm not sure whether he can go too much above that, considering Danger and Thompson were so far down and they're going to steal a lot of points in the future, but I don't think he'll go backwards either. So a good start for Matty Wright and those who picked him.
Now, Luke Brown, of course, his foot got trod on a couple of times, but...
He's playing on Davey, and I was so impressed with his first half. He looked really, really good. I was really happy with the selection. I brought him into my team, and then you see him on crutches on the boundary line with he's on ice pack, and you thought, oh dear, there goes one of my trades.
You'd think that most people who selected him will be really happy, though. He did show a lot more than he did in the NAB Cup, and I know a lot of Adelaide supporters were pleasantly surprised, but he locked down a spot on ground in front of Matthew Jansch and Brody Martin. So you think that he's got Doughty's position firmly locked down.
If he gets up next week, that'll be huge.
Yeah, but you understand now that you traded Mark, I think, pick 10 and their first round compo pick for Luke Brown and Crouch. And I think now we're sort of seeing why exactly they did that. Dangerfield v. Watson, Mark. Unfortunately, both of us came up Dangerfield and he didn't quite perform.
You're not going to expect that from Dangerfield every weekend. There was a rumor going around that he had the flu or maybe Hocking just did an absolute job on him. But yeah, I'm expecting better things with Adelaide's draw. And he just showed again at certain times that he's a star. He might struggle a little bit with the new rule, with the sliding rule, because he does go really hard and really low. What did you think of Heppel? Did you take him in the end?
Yeah, I did take Heppel, Mark, and I'm pretty happy with the signs that he's shown. From what I've seen, I'm pretty hopeful of what he can deliver in the midfield and available in the back line.
Comma, he seemed to have a really good game. I think that was probably close to the best we're going to see from Comma, and he scored 70. So those that locked him down will be very happy because he should play for the next 4 or 5 weeks, but I certainly don't expect him to be high scoring.
You think he's got a spot in your best 22 lockdown, though?
For the next few weeks, for sure. He was absolutely fantastic against Adelaide. His defensive pressure was just like, that's what coaches love.
Do you think he's a player that we might consider bringing him as a rookie correction trade, or he doesn't have that scoring potential? No,
that's exactly right. He's not like a Toby Green possession winner. He's a defensive act kind of player.
Okay, now Patrick Ryder, Mark, you want to give a brief rant about him or explain why he only scored 50 points on the weekend?
Let's just wait till he gets inside of the dome and he'll do all right. I don't know why he got so low. There was a couple of times where the ball was coming out of defensive 50 and he dropped the mark or got really late spoils, and that would have made a big difference to his score. At times he looked fantastic, so hopefully we just see the best of Paddy going forward. Barlow, Mundy, Fife. Mundy and Fife, I was just deciding between all pre-season and I ended up going with Fife just on the upside. Mundy looked fantastic. Like, I was really, really impressed with Mundy. Fife copped the tag for most of the game. I'm not sure that that's actually going to keep happening in the future, so Fife might get off the leash in a few games. Barlow also looked really good. I don't know how many people took him, though.
Yeah, I think most people are looking at Mundy v. Fife, so I think Barlow probably got neglected a little bit, but
the best part of this, though, Marcus, was we're playing in our Supercoach Coach Draft League this week, and I had both Barlow and Mundy, who scored like 270, and I think you've had about 5 players play and I'm still in front of it.
I'm going to struggle a bit to beat you this week, Mark. And I didn't realize that Supercoach Draft didn't have a rolling lockout. So I do have Leuenberger on field as well. So I might be a bit screwed. Anyway, Daniel Pearce is probably the most interesting topic of conversation from the weekend. He, of course, was available to a similar price as Dyson. And he performed very, very well in his first hit out in Fremantle colours. He scored, Mark, about 120 plus, and he showed that playing in the midfield with the likes of Fife and Hill means that he can get off the chain, and we can see why he won the Rising Star quite a few years back now. But he's just so damaging with his disposal and so quick. He might prove to be a real, real damaging and high-scoring player for the Fremantle Football Club. Might he be one of those players that we'd be looking to bring in before the round 3 price change, Mark?
I probably wouldn't go that far personally. I think, yeah, he could definitely have a big year, but I think we sort of already knew that. I don't think we've got any new information personally. He had big games like that at Port as well, and there's definitely, it's going to be a lot harder for him to be tagged at Freo, given the fact that there's so many other good players, and Freo looked excellent on the weekend. Another player that I was really impressed by was Nick Subin, available as a mid-price backman, scored about 110, I think, and he's always been renowned as a brilliant kick of the footy, and he showed that again on the weekend, and he's had a bit of injury trouble in the past, I think.
Kick 3 goals straight, right?
He's not the sort of player that you'd sort of bring in, though, I don't think, anyway, before that sort of round 3 lockout because of his injury history, and it could just be a Dempsey Mark II. But I think that as a mid-pricer, he's sort of a player that you'd be looking at more than Pearce to be bringing in before the bubble.
Yeah, it was only priced at 350, Mark, which makes him really cheap as chips if he does turn into a breakout. I know it's probably been for a couple of years now we've been talking about him as a breakout, so it wouldn't be surprising if this year was the year, especially considering most of us have Fremantle moving up the ladder a little bit. So, thing to note is he didn't actually play halfback, he played half forward. Next player we're going to talk about is Griffin. The major point of news with him is that Sanderlands is going to be out for a fairly long time. The hamstring injury was a lot worse than expected, having re-injured it. It might only come back around 15, 16, I think that's what they're talking about now. And if he goes for surgery, he might not be back for the whole year. So Griffin certainly looks like a good selection for those that actually picked him up. Unfortunately, Pavlich, for those that picked him up, showed why you shouldn't pick players off a limited preseason.
Pretty much fully priced.
Those that picked him might actually be looking at a correction trade in a couple of rounds.
Fair hand injury as well. The webbing on his hand split and ended up at the doctor's after the game. So also may be reported. So there's definitely a lot going on with Pab from the first game. Now, I know at halftime you were very excited about Josh Kennedy.
Yeah, well, Marco, if you remember the last preseason episode, the main thing you brought up about Josh Kennedy is that he's very reliant on his goals to get the score. And I said that when they break out, Mark, they tend to score a bit better without kicking goals because they're just more of a presence on field. And it was good signs from that point of view, because even though West Coast lost by 28 points and Josh Kennedy only kicked two goals, he scored 109 Supercoach points. That's off the back of 19 possessions, a lot of which were contested, 8 marks and 4 tackles. So I think Josh Kennedy is becoming a bit more of a presence on field for the West Coast Eagles, and hopefully he'll continue to be, because that means that he's a lot less reliant on the goals he actually kicked. Because I think if I said that he'd be able to kick two goals and deliver 109 points last episode, that you would have told me to get screwed. So yeah, I think good signs.
Yeah, definitely. Within the first 5 minutes, it was clear he was playing a little bit further up the ground and taking some contested marks, and he was a big target for them. So yeah, Kennedy owners would be very happy week one, which does not apply to Lacroix owners. They would be very upset with what happened. He looked a player like so unlucky to have such a strong injury history, because his kicking for goal was fantastic. We saw him up in the back pocket getting possessions, contested ball and rebound 50s, and that's exactly what his owners would have loved to see. So to see him get a fracture to his arm would have been very shattering, and you've pretty much got to trade him out. And if you don't have Kennedy, Lacroix Kennedy looks a bit of a Monty trade.
Last topic of discussion for the episode is Selwood and Shuey, Mark. Both underperformed. Understandably, it was in a loss, but Shuey got tagged out completely, only had 12 disposals. Now, I understand Crowley's a pretty good tagger, but you've got to be pretty damn disappointed with that. Only a return of 56 Supercoach points. Scott Selwood did a little bit better, but again, his score was affected by the fact that he had to tag, and he tagged Fife, which we know is a tough gig. He had only 16 disposals, kicked two behinds, had 6 tackles for 81 Supercoach points. You'd think that both of these boys would perform a lot better in a win, but I'd say that anyone that started Luke Shuey would be fair disappointed, and you worry just how quickly Daniel Kerr is going to get back, because I think we can see he has a fair influence on how the team goes, and you'd hope that Nick Nack gets back soon, because he is truly vital to their football club.
Yeah, you think that they'd go a lot better with those two players back, I think, especially Nick Nat. And, I mean, Gaff was down as well with just 66, and he was so consistent last year. So after halftime, the West Coast midfield just got absolutely smashed, and I don't think we'll see that every week. It wasn't great to see Selwood back to his old tagging roles. I think that if you picked him, you were definitely hoping that he wasn't going to be tagging as much this year. Shuey, we read in the papers a few days before that Crowley was going to go to him, so we knew it was going to happen, and good on Crowley for just completely shutting him out of the game. I'm not sure that'll necessarily happen every week either. So, I mean, look, at this stage, you'd be disappointed, but I'm disappointed in Ryder, but I'm still going to keep him and hope he scores better in the future.
Yeah, the important thing is not to make any panic trades, but of course, we still have a whole week to select the rest of our side. Best of luck for the upcoming round, and we'll see you guys again soon with the last preseason episode on rookies before the final lockout of the preseason. Cheers.
See you guys.